we're glad you're with us. Thank you for choosing to be here. This is us. We're the Well, and we changed our name back in August 18th, just about 5 weeks ago, and we've been on having this conversation about what that means, what that looks like. It's more than just packaging. It's more than just a new sign. It really is about a process that God has walked us through, and we've allowed him to kind of reveal to us what's significant, who he would have us be, what he would have us do, reminding us not just who we are, but whose we are. We're his. So as we follow his leading into these new areas of ministry, it might stretch us. It may be uncomfortable. Actually, I hope that it is, because then I know that God is in it. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But during this process, we've been reviewing the things that we believe God has shown us to be expressions of our faith. What's important to us as a church? We come up with four values, and we certainly could have more than that. We could spend a lot of time today talking about what's valuable and important in the life of the church. But the four things that God has brought to us, first one was community. And we are part of a faith family. We are a community of believers, and what we just shared in was a product of community. Now, we are a church that believes in growing intentionally, choosing to show up, to study God's word, to spend time in prayer, to help each other grow in their faith, sharing life experiences, the good ones and the not so good ones, so that we can learn from each other. But growing is not a choice. It's something that we have to do as we express and live out our faith. We believe that God is calling us to be compassionate. Compassion the way that Jesus models for us. 3 weeks ago, we talked about compassion in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to touch on that just a little bit here in a few moments. And the expression we see Jesus use when it comes to compassion, we only see Jesus use in the New Testament. There's no other example given except through the eyes of Christ. So learning to see the way that he sees is not always easy. I can admit there's times I see myself, I see my own needs, I see my own struggles, I see my own hurts, I see what's lacking. And I could dwell on that. But we're to encourage each other compassionately to be reminded and to see the way that Jesus sees, to see the hope that we have in him and to share that hope with others. And then just a few weeks ago, we talked about generosity, being generous to the point that it just doesn't make any sense. It's in that type of generosity that God is allowed to then show us things that we could never experience without him. To be generous to where it leaves us wondering, where did that come from? Or how in the world is God doing this? Allowing him to show up in ways that he wouldn't otherwise show up if we didn't create space for him. The more and more that we sing about, that's the generosity we experience when we live out and we follow God's leading and we allow ourselves to be generous to others. Those are our values. It's kind of the travel brochure. Like if you're about to go on a trip, that would be the brochure that would tell you all about where it is you're going. But to get there, though, now you've got to pull out a map. And our map is our strategy. Our strategy is simple. It's just two parts. Build up to be poured out. We come and we fill. We might come and we might pour out. We're all going to come in different places in this journey, using different values to express our faith, and in different parts of the strategy at different times. That's the beauty of being a community of faith. We're there to help each other, perhaps be filled, or once we're filled, we might help each other by being poured out. It's really a beautiful cycle, and it's one that I'm excited to be a part of. Last Sunday, we talked about when in this idea of being filled up is this first part of our strategy. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 10, and he's very specific talking to them, and at times, if we don't understand that, we might receive a message he has and misunderstand it, misunderstand how it applies. And in his message, he talks about gatekeepers. And Jesus says to him, I don't need gatekeepers. I need shepherds. I've got enough. You religious leaders, are trying to decide who comes in and who goes out of the gate. That's not what I need. I need shepherds. I need those who are going to walk with my sheep, who will care for them, who will serve them, who will lead them to still waters, who will take them to green pastures. Not simply point them in the right direction, but go there with them to watch over them, to help them become all that I have created them to be. Jesus is correcting the religious and essentially saying, quit building fences. Lead them to the wells of living water. And so is doing, saying, I need well diggers. We as a church are called to dig deep wells, not build fences. We're not called to be gatekeepers. God doesn't need us to protect him. He doesn't need us to defend him. He simply needs us to share our stories, to share what is he has done. And in so doing, I believe others will be attracted to what he is doing. They'll want to know more of our stories, and we can help them recognize our shepherd's voice. And recognizing the voice that we follow, then they too will have an opportunity to come to understand the hope that we've discovered in Jesus. I have to confess, as I was preparing for this, I was wrestling with this idea that God put upon my heart. Because I don't want to make this about me, but visually I want you to understand kind of how I'm wired and what God is doing in my life. And there are times pastorally that, even personally, that I empty myself as a pastor. Sometimes completely, to the point, to my detriment. So I've got to learn balance in that. And as a pastor, when you pour yourself into people, it's kind of what we should be doing as a shepherd, as a pastor. There are times you do that and you help people grow and they come to this idea of faith, but then in time, eventually, they might decide that they want to go to a different pasture, if you will. And that's okay. It's hard in those moments. It can be challenging. But I've got to leave the results up to God and simply be obedient where He leads. See, I don't always get it right. I don't always know when to stop. I don't always know how to draw lines. My wife will constantly have to remind me of that. And sometimes when I pour myself out, I end up just like you would expect, empty. But I keep pouring. See, I have to. I don't do it because I love you. I do like you. I love you. But I do it because I love Him. I love Jesus. And Jesus compels me to take my jar of community, and once He fills it up, He compels me to pour it out. But my tendency at times is to pour it completely out, and then I leave it on the altar, and I leave it upside down. The problem with that is now He can't fill it back up. So we've got to have this balance, or He has me take my jar of generosity, and then I just pour out this jar of generosity, and I just keep giving and giving, and I get to the point where I put it on the altar, and I leave it upside down, and I don't give God room to fill me back up. And so what I'm learning is this cycle has to be something that I'm intentional about. And so when I join this idea of, or into this idea of compassion, I pour out this compassion that God has for me. But now what I'm learning to do is put my gift on the altar and leave it right side up so that God can fill me again. Or when I take this idea of growing, I think, well, I just can't grow anymore. I don't have any room, but I've got to leave God room to do what only He can do. I'm not always good at that. It's something I have to choose to do. But if I don't choose it, I get too slanted to one side or the other. And that's where we help one another. We hold each other accountable. We ask hard questions. We help fill one another up. There's different ways that God has me do this, through spending time with one another or sharing stories or counseling or just helping. I don't do it because of you. I do it because of Him. That's what compels me. And that's how I discovered many years ago, that's how I worship. That's one of my worship languages, if you will, is serving, is giving to others. See, I don't want to see people left out. We have church meals. I'll tend to go sit with those that I don't know, or those who are sitting by themselves. I can't help it. I see an opportunity. I see someone to connect with. I eat with my family every day. I want to go eat with some different people once in a while, trust me. So when God opens those doors, that's when I get excited. That's where I get energy. That's where I want to go and to do what He has for me. See, my spiritual formation requires me to do what I do. Your formation, where you are at in your journey, we're not in the same place. God might not ask the same of you, but I do what He does ask of me. He doesn't ask you to pour out the way that I pour out, but He does ask you to pour out. He asks us to give what it is He gives to us. He gives us different things, but I have learned in my life that I don't just see needs, I see opportunities. Each opportunity to serve is an opportunity to love someone, to bring a smile to their face, to remind them that they're valued. And I'm still learning, even from some of you who do it better than I do. I've learned to give baked Amish pies to people who are struggling. Boy, that just lights up their faces really quickly. Shovel driveways or give snickerdoodles. Some of you have responded to me by giving of fruit from your gardens or chocolate chip cookies or Diet Cokes. At just the right time, God put something upon your heart to be a blessing to me. That's how this thing called community works. As we listen to Him and we're obedient, He fills us up in ways that we may not expect. Last Sunday, someone handed me a bag of peanut fudge, peanut butter fudge. That was a good afternoon. It didn't make it home. I ate it all. They said it was for me, so I ate it. And I thank you for that. Those are things I get right. But there's also things I get wrong. Sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I get caught up in my own stuff. We all have stuff. And there's a balance to be had between responsibility and job and work and family and your marriage. We absolutely should tend to those things. Those as well are a gift from God. That is actually my first church, is my family. But if I'm not careful, I also can at times get focused on me. When I'm busy looking at me, that's when I don't see. That's when I tend to work for God rather than work with Him. And God doesn't need us to work for Him. But He desires that we walk with Him. See, He's the good shepherd that we read about last Sunday. He leads His sheep, and He wants us to follow and to do the same thing. I learn from my mistakes, so at least I'm trying. But I do find myself at times asking why. What's going on? What are you up to? That's too big for me. And we'll talk about the too big for me here in just a moment. But I'm drawn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. And Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. And Paul is writing while he's in chains in jail. And I'm not sure I could do what Paul did. But Paul writes about Jesus, and he says in verse 7, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. To paraphrase Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 through 9, Christ Jesus totally poured Himself out for us, becoming human, living a humble life, dying on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place. Exaltation in the eyes of the Father can only come when we pour ourselves out. That's the second part of our strategy. We're filled to be poured. We're not filled to feel good. We're filled to be poured out. And if we're filled to overflowing and we're not splashing on people intentionally, then we're just overflowing and making a mess. And I could testify to making my life a mess, as each of us can. But when we follow God's leading, when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct, now the overflow becomes something useful. Now it becomes something beautiful. I've shared much about our vision team in recent months. It's been about 18 months that our vision team has been meeting and talking about what it is that we believe God is showing us and who He wants us to become. And worship has come up often in our conversations, as if should worship be a value. And it's a really valid conversation. But what we began to discover as we were digging deeper as a vision team is that we find worship, as we do worship in the midst of community. And we worship God when we are growing in our faith intentionally. We worship God when we compassionately see others the way that Jesus sees them. When we give generously, whether it be our time or our talents or our resources, we are worshiping God. So worship doesn't need to be its own standalone value. Worship is in all of our values. Everything we do is an act of faith, is something that we're giving back to God in response to who He is and what He has done in our lives. I worship best when I'm poured out. But I'm having to learn to worship Him while I'm being filled. I'm not as good at that. It takes practice. But I love to be poured out. Matthew 14, as we shared a few weeks ago, Jesus has compassion. It's this Greek word, splagnizomai. And splagnizomai is the way that Jesus sees people. And we can only do that when we have Jesus in our hearts and our lives as well. Jesus in Matthew 14 is trying to get away from the crowds. John the Baptist has just been killed. Jesus is kind of grieving. He wants to be alone. And so He gets in a boat and sails to a solitary place. And it's at this solitary place that the crowds find out where He's at. Someone put it on social media. They discovered where He was. And there was this big crowd that kind of gathered where Jesus was. And He sees them coming. And Scripture tells us He had compassion on them and healed their sick. He saw the need and couldn't ignore it. He had to do something. That's what being poured out is. You see a need and you have to do something. You just can't ignore it. You are compelled to act. And that's what filled up, poured out looks like. It's not like, oh, that's so sad, or someone should do something. They recognize that we need to do something. And then along comes a little boy. It's dinner time. The disciples see the big crowd. They see a problem, not an opportunity. Hey, Jesus, we need to send the crowds home so they get something to eat. This is before 30 minutes or less delivery. This is before Uber Eats or Grubhub. There was no way to call and order dinner. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. Which the disciples looked around at this crowd, numbering between 5 and 20,000. Scripture counts just the men. Do a little bit of exponential growth with the women and children that are present. And you've got a big group there. And they see an impossible task. not just physically, but they see an impossible task from a resource standpoint. They don't have enough to give them. But here comes a little boy. We've talked about this little boy before. He brings his lunch, his happy meal, and he gives it. Can you picture him opening up his lunchbox, going up in front of Jesus, and just dumping it in Jesus' lap? Here, you take this. It's all I got. It's not much. And Jesus is like, that's all I need. I just need you to give me everything. See, there's a time for emptying ourselves. There's a time that God asks us to give everything. And when we do that, that's when the miracle begins. That's when it shows up. That's when things get exciting. Jesus took this gift that was given completely. In verses 19 through 21, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. He broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples gave them to the people. Now do the math. 12 disciples, 20,000 people. That's not a table I'd like to serve at lunchtime. That's a lot of drink refills going back and forth. That's a lot of napkins. That's a lot of tartar sauce they're having to pass out to the people with their fish and their sandwiches. It had to be overwhelming. Imagine their thoughts. First disbelief, did you just see that? Then amazement, then wonder and excitement. Then it had to be some point of joy, like, wow, look what's going on. This is exciting to be a part of. It's still coming. Then the questions, what's going on here? How is this happening? This is amazing. But none of it happened until Jesus says in verse 18, bring them to me. See, we never get to the miracle until we let go of. And the little boy was willing to let go of his lunch so that Jesus could do something incredible. I think the lunch is this act of pouring out. That's all he had. Jesus took something with that and did something only that he could do. Andy Stanley writes, we do what we can do and trust God to do what only God can do. Sometimes I hesitate to do what God's told me to do because I can't see the other side. Lord, you really want me to pour out here because there's nothing here to pour out on. I don't understand what you're asking me to do. And God's saying, trust me. Just do what you can do and watch what then only I can do. How much of the only I can do stuff have I missed out on because I've been hesitant to do what he's asked me to do? I believe that's how God is going to open up the floodgates in our community. In influence, in lives being saved, in families being changed. When we start to pour out where he leads us, as he leads us, even when it doesn't make sense. To me, that's the key. It's not easy. It's somewhat intimidating. It leads to lots of questions. But when we can grow to that place in our faith, I believe it's going to open up doors that we've not yet even begun to see. Keep reading in Matthew chapter 14. You end up in verse 28. After the meal, he sends the disciples to the other side of the sea. He tells them to get into a boat. And you guys go sail out there. I'll join you later. Now, I had to raise some questions, right? How are you going to join us later? Not so sure how that's going to work. But the disciples get in the boat and they go out. And in the middle of the night, a storm blows up. And it's storming and the winds are blowing. And Jesus is walking to them in the middle of the night. And they look out and they see Jesus coming. The ghost! No, don't be afraid, guys. It's me. Yeah, right. They've never seen this before. And Peter does something that we know well. We've laughed at it. We've been amazed by it. But I find myself challenged by it. Peter says in verse 28, Lord, if it's you, I just love that, tell me to come to you on the water. Call me to a place that doesn't make sense for me to go. Call me to a place where physically I know I can't get to on my own. Peter knows what happens when he tries to walk on water. He's not that dense, although sometimes he might surprise us. He says, if it's you, though, God, if you're there, Jesus, then I can get there. He's the only one in the boat who figures that out. And Jesus tells Peter, come. And Peter gets out of the boat. Could you imagine him throwing his leg over the side? And what that first step must have felt like. Wow, I'm really doing this. You keep your eyes on him. It's easy. And we know that the takeaway of the story is that the winds and the waves are whipping around Peter, and he takes his eyes off Jesus. He quits seeing through the eyes of Jesus, and as soon as that happens, he sinks. And of course, Christ is there to pull him back up. But don't miss the point that Peter did get out of the boat. Peter did walk on water. Because he was willing to go where Jesus was and do what only Jesus could do. That's what I believe God is calling us to. That's what This Is Us is all about. That's what it means for us to be the well. We're going to go where Jesus leads us, even when it may not make sense. See, God is moving among us. I shared a few weeks ago about a message I had from a friend, Jesse, part of our church, who has been going through a challenging time, has been going through a tough week. But God put a burden on her heart to respond to needs through a meal ministry for others who are struggling. And she asked, Pastor, if we don't have something like that, can I help start that? And when the time is right and she's ready for that, we're going to start that. We're going to allow for that. In first service, someone else came to me and says, I want to be a part of that. And I believe that as God speaks to you, that's where we're going to see these beautiful expressions of faith begin to develop. It doesn't always have to come from your staff or your pastor. The Holy Spirit can talk to you as well. And God is leading others in our church to uncomfortable places, to minister in uncomfortable ways. And Cynthia and Desi are going to come and share about a ministry they're going to be a part of. You may be familiar with them. You've heard their story before. And in just a few weeks, they're going to be part of Kairos 56 at the Ohio Women's Correctional Facility just right down the street. And they're going to share ways that you can get involved, ways that God could use you to be poured out upon those who need to be filled.
I'm Cynthia, and this is my daughter, Desi, who's 18 and is now officially old enough to go behind the razor wire to minister inside the prison. I think it's on. Okay, thank you. I've shared with you before, my heart has been led to be poured out through the Kairos International Prison Ministry, which is a Christian ministry to seek the lost that are impacted by incarceration. That includes the ladies and men behind the razor wire, as well as the families on the outside. And this year, I'm really excited to take Desi, because as a child, she has helped to fill me up to be poured out. And we are ready to be poured out, but we need some more filling, and we need it from our church family. Some of the ways that you could help support us is, most importantly, prayer support. In the back, in the corner, and in the center are prayer vigils. If you could sign up for a time to pray over our weekend, the ladies and the volunteers, that would be so amazing, because everything happens through prayer. But also, too, your first name and the date and time that you pray will be transferred to a colored strip of paper, and a paper chain is made that is brought into the room during one of the talks. And the talk is titled, You Are Not Alone. And it talks about the church, and we are the church. And when it comes in, it wraps twice around a room this size. And it just amazes the ladies to know that people on the outside who don't even know them are praying for them despite what they may have done. And it starts to open the door for forgiveness. It's very powerful. Another way is we need 38,000 chocolate chip cookies. And I'll be happy to tell you that we have got that quota already made. Everyone has signed up and volunteered to do that, that's going to do that. And our church, thanks to Pastor Josh and our teen group, is going to be sending 40 dozen cookies. So we're very thankful for our teens reaching out in that way to, again, fill us up so that we can be poured out at ORW. We also need money. When we go, we will be feeding these ladies. They will sit with us at what we call family tables. And a lot of the ladies share that this is the first time in their entire life that they have sat as a family and had a meal. Think about that. That's powerful, to know that they will go to bed knowing that God did that for them. But we have to pay for that. There are lots of things that we provide during the weekend, such as fresh fruit and vegetables, and those are things they don't get to see. Coffee, they don't get to have coffee. That usually is a bad thing by Friday, because they get so excited Thursday about the coffee, they've overdosed on it, and then Friday everyone's a little jittery. But, you know, sugar, creamer, things that we take for granted, when we purchase these things and provide them, it's a simple thing, but it demonstrates God's love, that we as a church have sent that into them. If you would like to donate, you can talk to me or Desi, but checks are written to Kairos of Ohio, and you just put in the memo ORW 56. Also, we take agape, which is God's love, little signs and symbols of, you know, gifts of God's love. If you wanted to sit down with your kids, or you just have something on your heart, or you have a little bit of artistic ability, even if it's just an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper to write your favorite Bible verse or some words of encouragement. You can only use white paper, markers, and colored pencils. Anything else is considered contraband. So no stickers, no crayons, stuff like that. No glue, no stickers. Yeah. But we can collect those things through to October 11th, and I'd be happy to come and pick them up, or you can bring them here to the church. I don't want to take up too much time, but we're just so excited and blessed to be called, and we're happy to say the yes. And it's just amazing to be an anonymous servant, to just do what God has asked us to do without any expectation of what is in it for us, but we're going to be blessed. And I know some of it asked about the closing, and the closing is all full, so we can't have any more people come to the closing. But if you would like to do that, let me know. And then in spring, I have to set out one before I go back, but Desi will probably be going back, and we'll make sure to include you in that closing. It's an amazing thing to witness other people's proclamation of, I'm changed from this weekend. We spend so much time planting seeds and watering. It's really nice to see the abundant harvest. These women are on the cusp of forgiveness and following him for the rest of their life. And it's really our church, the church as a whole, coming into them to prove to them that it is available for them, that really makes the difference. And it's such a blessing. So if you'd like to be a part of that, we need filled up. We need our church, because when we go to our team meetings, we have to show them, you know, we have this prayer support, we have this financial support, and Desi, of course, gets to brag about the cookie support. We appreciate you, and we thank you, and we covet your prayers. Thank you.
You said good.
Thank you.
I imagine not many of you woke up this morning wondering how God might you send me into a women's prison to minister to those who are lost. That's not a natural thing for us to do. It's something that, though, when we are compelled to do it, God gives us room to question, but he does expect us eventually to be obedient. And I've been a part of the cloud of witnesses, if you will, that have gathered and heard the testimonies. It is a beautiful thing to see that even in a place like that, the light can shine so brightly. I know several of you have been a part of that as well. So I'd encourage you, if the Holy Spirit's moving you, just go talk to Cynthia and see what God might do and how he might use you. The point of this being is God's going to call us to be poured out in ways sometimes that are uncomfortable, in places that are uncomfortable. When Jesus went to Samaria in John chapter 4 and met the woman at the well, it was uncomfortable for his disciples. But he was trying to show them, this is how I'm going to do things. Just be obedient and watch what I do. And when he asked us to dump out our lunch, we might not see that any kind of difference that it could make. But Jesus raises it to heaven, give thanks for it, and says to his disciples, watch now what I'm going to do. When he comes to us in the midst of the storm and says, get out of the boat and walk to me on the water, we're like, well, I can't do that. Jesus says, trust me and watch what I can do. Too often we stop short because we can't see how the story ends. But God doesn't ever expect us to. He just asks us to be obedient. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul writes, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In response to God's mercy, in response to grace, in response to being filled up, offer your bodies as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Last week we talked about the Pharisees in John 10. Jesus is speaking directly, indirectly, if you will, of being filled and poured out. Verse 21, he says, as the Father has sent me so that you could experience grace, I'm sending you to be poured out. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. Grace always comes first. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works so that no one can boast. For God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Grace, then pouring. Filled, then doing. Oswald Chambers writes in his devotionals, which I love, God doesn't want me to work for Him. He wants me to work with Him. I need to do more with Him. Paul writes to the church in Philippi. I shared earlier verses 7 through 9. In verse 17, Paul continues in his letter. He says, even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and I rejoice with all of you. We think we kind of understand what Paul's talking about, being poured out like a drink offering. But to understand it fully, we've got to go back to the Old Testament. And what Paul's writing about is this idea of finality. This idea about claiming the land, about claiming victory. Paul, in his writing, on being poured out, this is kind of a victorious statement. You go back to Genesis chapter 28, we read about a man named Jacob, who deceives his brother and his father and gets his brother's blessing and his birthright. Esau, his brother, is pretty angry and has threatened to kill him. So Jacob is sent by his father to live with his uncle Laban so that he could find a wife that's not of the heathens of the land. And Jacob runs away. And while running away, he encounters God. And this first encounter with God, Jacob names this place Bethel. He sets a rock up. This rock is kind of as an altar and says, I'm not going to forget this place. 20 years later, Jacob is on his way back home. Things haven't gone well with Laban. He's got two wives out of it. He's got a bunch of children, and it's just been a mess. In the midst of his dysfunction, he decides to head back home. Instead of running from Esau, to go towards him. And on his way back, he ends up again at Bethel. And he's reminded of the promises that God had made to him. Promises to multiply him and to make him into a great nation. And God uses this moment to speak to Jacob, and he renames Jacob in this second time at Bethel. He names him, your name shall now be Israel. And it's in this process that Jacob begins to take on kind of this new purpose in his life. He builds an altar, and we read in Genesis chapter 35, he pours oil and wine upon the altar as a drink offering, as a symbol of victory. Yes, God, all my life I've lost, but now finally, I'm finding victory in you. It's this statement, if you will, of I'm claiming the promises you've made to me. And we know that God promised Jacob this land, this promised land, that many years later, Moses and the Israelites would come back to. And we see in Exodus and in Numbers, these expressions of the drink offering that they're still to practice. Exodus 29, Numbers 15, Numbers 28. Pour out the drink offering as a symbol of victory and of returning to this promised land that I have set aside for you. I share that with you because it makes sense now. We started this journey, I shared it out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. This is the message where it says, that's plain enough, isn't it? Paul writes, you're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. With as much right to the name Christian as anyone, God is building a home and He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what He's building. You're no longer wandering exiles. You're back home. You've been poured out. You yourselves are the drink offering. You are the sign of victory. You are the sign of claiming that with which God has promised. In the New Testament, this is an expression of the pouring out of the blood of Christ upon the altar, upon the sign of victory. The land that's promised to us isn't physical land, it's spiritual land. A reclaiming of the hearts that belong once again to God. Grace brings us back to Him. We're no longer wandering exiles. We're home. We live out our lives of faith. But when we're home, we're part of what God is doing. We're not just filled, we're poured. He's using all of us in what He's building, Paul writes in Ephesians. And that should be exciting for us. This is a statement Paul's making. I'm about done. I'm about home. I've poured my life out. Now God is about to bring me home. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. That's the measure. This is us. It's what we strive towards, not to earn or to deserve anything. But rather, it's what grace does. It's what being filled compels us to do, to become. So as we live out, this is us. I pray we would never settle. We continue to be filled and poured as God would lead. And God would help us to become who He wants us to be. And continue to remind us of whose we are. Hebrews chapter 13, I'll close with this. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise. We've done that today. The fruit of the lips of those who openly profess His name. We have sang, we've worshiped, we've praised Him. But then he continues. After you've come to be filled, the writer in Hebrews says, he then reminds us what we're to do next. Do not forget to do good, to share with others. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. As we are poured out, in essence, we're poured into others, into our community, into one another, into those who need the hope that we have found in Jesus. Today we're going to celebrate a life that has been changed, who's found this grace of God. And Bella is going to come, and I'm going to invite her to come and join me now, and Mara's going to come. And Bella's chosen to be baptized today because she's discovered the hope that she finds only in Jesus. And the family's going to come with her. And once they get up here, Bella's part of our children's ministry. And once our family's up here, we'll maybe let some of her friends gather on the platform behind her. And we're going to celebrate what God is doing in her life. So we're very excited, and we know this is just the beginning. And I want Mara to kind of walk you through her story and let Bella share in her own words what it is that Jesus is doing or has done for her.
Yes, so it is. This is such an exciting moment to get to share with all of you. Bella and I have had a lot of conversations recently just about what this means, and she has been determined for quite a while that this is what she wants to do. This is the next step for her. She did record a video. We had some technological difficulties, so Ethan's going to help her with kind of sharing with you what God put on her heart to tell you a little bit of her story.
My name is Isabella Stenberger, but most of you know me as Bella. What you may not know about me is that I have been in foster care for a few years and only moved in with Ethan and Holly back in May. I have been through a lot in my life and have made a lot of mistakes too. People that are supposed to take care of me tried to hurt me in ways I can't explain, and because I have been very angry, I have tried to hurt them too. When I moved in with Ethan and Holly, I did not know a lot about Jesus or faith. They have shown me what it is like to be loved no matter what I say or do. I also have learned a lot about Jesus and love by coming to this church and meeting great people like Pastor Brian, Miss Amy Richardson, Miss Mar, Mr. Ryan, and Miss Amy Davis, and all of the people here have accepted me or for who I am and love me no matter what, just like Jesus does. Because the people Jesus has brought into my life, I know that Jesus died on the cross to forgive me and my sins and make it so that when I die, I spend forever with Him in heaven. I also know that He is still working in my heart through the Holy Spirit, teaching me to forgive the people who have hurt me. I want to be baptized today so I can show the people I love that I am saved by Jesus and that He can do the same thing for them. He can save them and heal them, all of the trauma in their lives too.
Thank you, Bella. What a beautiful testimony of how when you meet Jesus and you understand what He's done for you, it changes everything. And I hope you guys heard as well, you have been a part of that for Bella. We love Bella. To know Bella is to love her. And so Bella, let's go ahead and climb into the baptismal. If you are a friend of Bella and you'd love to come a little bit closer and share in this moment, we have a couple of red lines here. So if you want to come up around the back is a great way to see into the tub. But yeah, come on up. Bella has made so many friends, and we're just so thankful for all of the people that have invested in her life and have just shown her what it looks like to love Jesus and to follow him. Ethan and Holly, we're so thankful for your family and excited to celebrate this with you too. All right, Bella, are you ready? So you shared in your testimony that you believe that Jesus died for you and that he saved you and you've decided to follow him. Is that right?
Yep.
And are you committed to spending the rest of your life growing to be more like him, loving him and other people more and more every day?
Yes.
Okay, Bella. Well, then it is my privilege to baptize you today in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Well, this is us. And this is what we're about, is seeing lives transformed, going to hard places, to seeing God do beautiful things, to celebrating his faithfulness. And we hope that you're encouraged by what you've experienced and seen. I don't know, I want you to know we're prepared. We don't always do this, but I've got extra towels. We've got some clothes here too. So if your story is similar to Bella's and maybe today's your day, like, hey, wait a minute, I want to be part of that. We're ready for you. Any takers? All right, come. Well, all right. We'd like to hear this. Wow. Yeah, please. What's your name?
Crystal.
Crystal?
Galloway.
Can you tell us your story?
So, sorry. I was actually sitting here today because I came here about 6 months ago, and I needed a Bible. And two gentlemen that I found here in the church ran around and gave me this Bible. So God's been really working in my life lately, and he wanted me to come here and give you guys a message. And I said, God, why that church? And he said, they gave you that Bible. But he wanted me to tell you that something big is about to happen and to be ready. So I'm ready too.
Amen. Well, Crystal, what's Jesus done for you lately? Has he forgiven you of your sins?
Yes.
You believe that Christ died for you and that God loves you?
Absolutely.
He's got a plan for your life?
Yes, he does.
You've accepted the gift of his grace.
I have.
Amen. Do you like to be baptized this
I
morning?
Do.
All right. Pastor Josh, got a little help here. We're going to need a little bit of help. This is we planned for this, but hey, this is exciting. The second service can wait. We're not in any hurry. This is good stuff.
I wasn't expecting to be baptized, but I sure will. I'm
going to
need it.
Chris, you've already professed that you believe that God has sent his son Jesus to die for you. You've already professed that you've confessed your sins to him and you've been forgiven?
Yes.
This act of baptism is a public testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness in your life. And I'm going to have you hold your nose for me with this hand. I'm going to grab your wrist here. And it's a privilege and a joy today to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is good, and we're glad you've gotten to experience a little bit of his goodness today.
Thank you.
And we are very excited about what he's doing, to share in what he's doing. We're a community of faith, and we walk through life together, and we're very excited about what's happening. So let's pray together. Would you stand with me? And you say, Father, we just celebrate you today, what you're doing, what you've done. We celebrate, Father, who you are, and that you are still at work in our lives individually, in our lives corporately, Lord, and we believe what Crystal just said, you're just getting started here. It's not because of us, not because of the talents we bring. It's not even because we empty out our lunch boxes. It's because of who you are. The Father, today, as you fill us, may we be faithful, Lord, in being poured out. We never know what just one gift of a Bible might do to someone's life. We never know what bringing someone into our home, how it might transform them. God, today, help us to be obedient. To go, Lord, where you send us, believing that you go before us, and that, God, you are at work to grow your kingdom one person at a time. Father, thank you for what we've shared in today. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go, be filled, be poured out. Thank you for being with us today.